certainly an exciting day for the Edmonton Oilers to acquire Duncan Keith.
Just felt like the Edmonton Oilers right now, it was a good fit, a great fit. Excited to start this new chapter of my career and try to win a cup in Edmonton.
It's always been my goal to be able to stay in Edmonton, and it's just what I've wanted. I've loved my time in Edmonton so far. The team is progressing the way we want it to, and I want to be a part of that. And obviously, the biggest reason I want to stay is I want to win at Edmonton.
Here's McCabe all the way, scores!
Hey, welcome to the Locked On Oilers podcast for this Thursday, October 14th. I'm your host, Hernan Salas from TSN 1260, the Two Guys in a Goalie podcast. Like always, connect with me on Twitter at HernanTheMan and at Locked On Oilers. On the pod today, we'll break down the season opener for the Edmonton Oilers, where they came away with a 3-2 shootout win over the Vancouver Canucks. It was an okay game. It was a good game. We'll get to everything that happened in the game. We'll also talk about the Oilers pregame intro or whatever you want to call it. No bueno. We'll also get some practice notes, update you on some NHL news and the schedule tonight, maybe look at a few bets. And we'll also hear from Dave Tippett as he met with the media today as they get ready to face Calgary Flames on Saturday. That will be Calgary's first game, so the Edmonton Oilers a couple days here to get ready for that one. But let's get right to it, as last night the Edmonton Oilers kicked off their 2021 season with a date with the Vancouver Canucks. Let's break it down. First period, not too bad. I thought the Oilers were a little loose, a little messy in their own zone. I give the bump to Vancouver in that period up until Jesse Puljujarvi scored the first goal of the Edmonton Oilers season. Good on Connor Halley. He got that correct yesterday on my podcast, so I owe him a coffee. But Jesse Puljujarvi with his first from Nurse and McDavid. Just a goal that we want to see Jesse score right in front of the net with that big body, and the celebration was awesome. And then the Oilers, again, it was an even period, but I thought Vancouver had the edge just slightly right up until that goal. So you head out of there, and it's pretty good. It's 1-0 lead, and you'd rather be leading, right? Tyler Myers lays an absolute crushing hit on Duncan Keith. At first glance, it looked like charging or something similar to that, but when you saw the replay, clean hit. He's just a big dude. What is he, like 6'8", 6'9"? And yeah, it was just a solid hit. Duncan Keith had to go off for repairs, but he was able to return. So good on the wily vet there to tough it out, but a solid, solid hit. Go on to the second period. Zach Hyman would score also late in that period at 17-12 on the power play. Assist to Draisaitl, McDavid. And just a little note here, how cool was it to see how happy Dry and McDavid were for Zach Hyman? That was kind of cool. You know, these guys are feeling good playing together here, so that was good to see. And the Oilers head in pretty good. Again, another even period, I think. Both teams had their looks, and then on to the third, and things got a little dicey. Oliver Ekman-Larsson scored at 12:28 from Hoglander and Garland. Then Quinn Hughes would tied up at 17:11 on just a shot that cannot go in, and we'll get to that here in a bit. But Quinn Hughes with his first of the season. Hoglander picks up his second assist of the night. JT Miller gets the secondary, and we're off to overtime. And man, did we saw McDavid with Draisaitl, we saw Nuge with Hyman, and then we saw Kyle Turris with Jesse Puljujarvi, which was the weirdest thing ever. I never thought we'd see Kyle Turris in a 3-3 overtime game. Yeah, it was crazy. I think Vancouver had the better opportunities. Mike Smith made about two crazy saves. Tyson Barrie got walked twice in that period by Elias Pettersson. Nothing doing there. And then we head into the shootout. And once again, Nuge scores. Then I think it was Horvat tied it up. And then Kyle Turris again, the fifth shooter, goes five hole on Thatcher Demko. And then Mike Smith was able to hold it down and stop the last shooter for the Canucks. And the Oilers pick up a big 3-2 win. 2 points in the bag. Better than what we saw last year in the home opener. So you take it. I was a little surprised today at TSN 1260 in the inbox. We saw a lot of negativity, which, it shouldn't surprise anyone, but it's still kind of like, come on, guys, they won the game. It's the first game. Nothing's going to be perfect. So you move on. Noticeable performance. Zach Hyman's an absolute warrior. He does everything well. He's on the PK. He's on the power play. 5-on-5, he's excellent in both ends of the ice. What I like is that he's direct. He goes straight to the net. No messing around. Warren Fogle, very similar to Zach Hyman. I think these two players are going to be a hit here in Edmonton. So I'm very high on Zach Hyman right now. Mike Smith was excellent. Absolutely excellent. He made 36 saves, sorry. And, you know, a nice save percentage. That second goal you want back? Of course you do. It's not a good look. The Oilers got to improve in that third period, especially when you're up two goals. You got to lock down. And that doesn't mean sitting back. I felt, and they weren't terrible in the third, but a couple dumb penalties. And then it just felt like, you know, just a tad too cautious at certain points that led to the tying goal. So the Oilers got to improve in that. But outside of that, that bad goal, Mike Smith was on his game. Talked about the Myers hit on Keith. Just wow. And then the second and third lines were good. Like, listen, Jesse Puljujarvi, Connor McDavid, and Leon Draisaitl were good. But I thought the second line really played well. Third line was pretty good as well. Colton Sevier, kudos to him for jumping in there on the Tyler Myers hit. Not much of a fight, but it is what it is at that point. But yeah, like, it's nice to have that depth now, because when you put the two big boys together last season, you didn't really have much coming from the other three lines. Yesterday, that wasn't the case. I thought the top three lines were really good. They all had their opportunities. Yamamoto missed on a breakaway. They had some good looks. The fourth line didn't get a lot of ice time, and it was a tight game. Penalties, special teams came into the equation here, so that's why you didn't see a lot of that fourth line. Perlini was a low 537 of time on ice. Your leader up front was Connor McDavid at 24. Defensively, interesting. Darnell Nurse played 32-24. He's an absolute beast. Evan Bouchard was third at 22-07, just behind Tyson Barrie. And he played a lot of PK. He was really good. Dave Tippett was asked about that, and we'll hear that clip later on. But I thought Bouchard was good, especially with Darnell Nurse on the PK. Cody Ceci and Duncan Keith, good. Nothing bad to report. I mean, you're never going to play a perfect game. You're going to have ups and downs throughout the game. So I thought they were good. Russell, bad cross-checking penalty, but outside of that, he was decent. I thought the guy that struggled a little bit in the third and in overtime was, well, I shouldn't say just the third. Throughout the game was Tyson Barrie. He had his good moments, but he had a bad giveaway late in the third. He got beat in overtime a few times. It just felt like he, of all the six defensemen, I think he struggled the most. And I'm not writing him off. I'm not saying he's terrible. None of that. I'm just saying what I saw, okay? And he'll get better, and he's going to continue to play with Darnell Nurse and get those power play minutes. So let's leave it at that, and let's not read too much into his performance. I'm just giving you what I saw in the first game. And kudos to the Vancouver Canucks. They played a hell of a game. I thought their young pairing of Rathbone and Burrows were good. Ekman Larson, for me, he's still a legit defenseman. Quinn Hughes is Quinn Hughes. And up front, I like their top six. It's only going to get better when Brock Besser returns. Let's do this. Let's take a quick break. And then on the flip side, we'll get to some stats from the game. What did you think of the game? Who stood out? Who didn't you like? I don't think there's really anyone you can say you didn't like, because the Oilers weren't bad in that game at all. Vancouver was game as well. So we'll get to that, and we'll talk about the opening there at Rexall Place. I know a lot of people were like, really? This is what we're going to watch here to open up this season. So definitely interesting. We'll get to some news from around the NHL. This is the Locked On Oilers podcast with Hernan Salas. We're back and better than ever. All eyes are on the gridiron as teams are back for another football season. As always, BetOnline is your number one spot for all the pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, BetOnline continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Don't forget to use our promo code LOCKEDON to receive your bonus. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your favorite sports. BetOnline, where the game starts. Moving on to here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. Opening night was kind of cool. It's awesome. The Oilers won. I'll give you some stats from the game. Kind of just quickly broke it down for you. Who stood out for me? I liked Bouchard last night. I liked Hyman a lot. I liked Fogle. Puljujarvi was good. I thought Duncan Keith played a solid game. Mike Smith was excellent. How about you? Let me know on Twitter at Hernan the Man and at Locked On Oilers. Who did you like? Who didn't you like so much? We'll have some fun with that. Shots on goal. Canucks had the edge at 38-34. Faceoffs. Oilers at 64%. Really good. Oilers special teams were good. They went 1-for-2 on the power play, 50%. The Canucks went 1-for-5 on theirs. So the PK 4-for-5. Hits 29-21 for the Canucks. Blocks. Both teams with 17, and giveaways, Oilers 16, the Canucks 11. And just go back to Kyle Turris. Good on him. Got a shift there in overtime. He was good throughout the game. And then in the shootout, he won it. So it was definitely an interesting night for Kyle Turris. Like, I'll be honest, I didn't have in the top 12 to start the season, but the old vet put in the time in the summer, had a good camp, and finds himself in the lineup. And don't get discouraged about Berlini. I know everybody was pretty pumped up with Lamborghini and Scorlini and the Pearl with the preseason he had, and it was just a tough game, and sometimes the fourth lines are the ones that suffer from that when there's penalties and it's a close game. So I expect that line to be much better. We'll see the status of Devin Shore heading into Saturday. And Dave Tippett did allude, I know Justin Gregor had it at on his Twitter, says Tippett mentioned he expects Cassian to play Saturday on the line with Fogle and Ryan. So before Saturday, he will be activated from IR, and Oilers will need to make a roster move. They can put Shore on retroactive IR if he's not ready. But if Shore is ready to go, guys, then that means probably McLeod to the AHL makes the most sense. So we'll see what happens here. So it means Colton Sevier comes off that line. Where does he end up? And if Shore is ready to go, I think Sevier is just your extra guy, along with Tyler Benson. And McLeod heads down to the minors, who was quiet yesterday, took a penalty. He needs a little more time in the AHL. You can tell he's lacking some confidence there. So a tough little start here to the season for Ryan McLeod. Didn't play much yesterday, but when he did, he wasn't noticeable. And the only time we noticed him was for a penalty. So hopefully he can go down there and find his game, because there is a player there. I was really high on him, and I still am. It's okay if young guys struggle early on, so I'm not too concerned about that. How about the Oilers pregame? Ooh, intro. Ooh. It was not good, guys. And listen, with all due respect to everybody that put in time and they came up with the idea, like, yeah, I'm not here to act like I'm some sort of director, creative genius. But you haven't played a home game since March 11th, 2020. You know, it's been a tough times for everybody. The fans are finally back. I don't care what side you're on. It was just great to be in that barn again yesterday and with not a full house, but pretty damn close. And it was just, they bring out a guy in the middle of the ice dressed in all black, and it's Tony Brar, the host of Oilers TV. And nothing against Tony Brar, he's a cool dude, man. But for him to come out and have a montage or just welcome everybody back and then go to a video that wasn't very inspiring. I mean, they did honor all the people they should have, and that was great to see. But for the first time, fans being back in this damn long, and that's what you brought out, and that's what you presented to the fans. And again, nothing against the presenter. He did his part. I mean, he read it perfect. He was good. He was engaging. But it's just, man, you look at Vegas, and I get it, Edmonton's not Vegas, but you have Rogers Place, one of the best barns in the damn NHL, and you can do stuff on the ice with lights and images, and I don't know. It just lacked for me. It was underwhelming. I don't think there was a lot of thought that went into it. I won't say effort, because I don't know. That would be me assuming. But man, yeah, it was disappointing. Very disappointing. And I know on the post-game show, a lot of fans shared the same sentiment as us. And we were kind of just like, it's got to be better, man. Like, you have the best player in the world. Get creative. Do something. And again, nothing against Tony Barr. I thought he did a wonderful job at what he did. But it's for a season opener, and a season opener like this during a pandemic, after what everybody's been through in life and when it comes to sports, and even the video wasn't very good. It was just kind of like we all just went back on our phones and we're like, oh wow, this is not good. So I mean, it is what it is. We're there to break down everything, and I thought they missed the boat on the Oilers pregame intro. It wasn't very good. Let me know too if you were at the game or you saw. I don't even know if it was on TV, to be honest with you. So let me know what you thought of it, and then do they have to improve? And like the music too, the goal song, I don't even know what it is. Like a dance techno song I've never heard of. At one point in the first period, it's pretty quiet in there, nothing really going on in the game, and they bring on Def Leppard. It's like, come on, like you gotta pump up the people, man. Nothing against Def Leppard either, but come on, that's not gonna get the people going. I will say this though, it was pretty cool when they won. The Oilers win song is La Bamba. You got it right on that one, so kudos to them for that. And for the player introductions, of course, McDavid, Leon, longest roar. But Jesse Puljujärvi and Zach Cassian, man, they were pretty close to McDavid and Draisaitl when it came to the roar of the crowd when they were introduced. So good on those guys. And Nuge, it's always great to hear Nuge. And it was funny, sitting up in the press box, you can still hear the fans. And some of the stuff the fans were saying was absolutely, absolutely hilarious. So it's good to be back. I don't know how it was in terms of being in the arena, in the seats, with the mask. I don't know how all that went, so I don't have any information on that. But the game was good. I love the Win Song La Bamba, but the Oilers pregame intro was not very good, and some of the music, you know how it is during the game. They just gotta freshen up that playlist, man. Holy smokes! Anyways, let me know on Twitter at Hernan the Man what you thought of the Oilers pregame. Maybe you liked it, and that's okay. I'm just saying from what I saw, that's my opinion, and we'll go from there. All right, coming up next, we'll get to some NHL news, the schedule today, we'll talk some betting, and we'll hear from Dave Tippett here on the Locked On Oilers podcast. This episode is brought to you by Rock Auto. With the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain auto parts store to stock all the parts you need. Why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter orders the parts on their computer, choosing the only brand their warehouse happens to carry? You have computers with access to rockauto.com at home and in your pocket. Save time and money when using Rock Auto. Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck. Write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. Back here on the Locked On Oilers podcast, it looks like Cassian will return for Saturday. We'll see if Devin Shore is going to get up to speed there for the game. And I will add, it was an optional today. Nurse, Draisaitl, all the big boys were there. And that's a great sign for the Edmonton Oilers. Love to see it. So we'll see what the lineup looks like on Saturday. This cuckoo drawing for Chris Wessel. Who knows? But it'll be fun to wait and anticipate and see what goes down on Saturday versus those pesky Sutter Calgary Flames. All right, guys, let's get to Dave Tippett here as he met with the media today. Again, shout out to the media for the content and the questions and all that. And let's start it off with Dave Tippett was asked about having options now and a very good second line. And because in the past, you'd go to the two big dogs and you didn't have much after that. So here is Dave Tippett on just having a very good second line and having more options up front.
That's what we've talked about since we've added the depth is we have options. And, they played well in the last exhibition game. They played well last night. So, it's nice to see some of those options. You just don't think about them there. You get to see them and see what they come up with. But last night was a little, we'll see. The line was really good. We took too many penalties last night that all three of them killed a lot of penalties last night. So it took some of the 5-on-5 play away from them. But there's some good signs there. They're a work-based line that can be hard to play against other teams' top players. So we'll continue to see how it grows.
Dave Tippett wasn't very happy with the penalties, especially in the third period. And here's Dave Tippett just on the penalties taken last night.
There's a sequence of events that sometimes happens before a penalty that's what I'm more concerned about than the actual penalty. There's a couple turnovers that lead to playing in your own end, put yourself in bad positions, things like that. You don't like the penalty itself, but there's things that happen before the penalty that you would never be back in that position, having to defend or in your own end if we would have done a few things right in front of it. So there's some of that stuff that we'll talk about, but for the most part, it's early in the preseason, I was hoping for some more penalties. That's what I told him after the game. I said, that's all off now. We're good now. We figured some things out.
Yeah. Don't take any more penalties, guys. I know how my PK is going to go. And they were pretty good last night. Like Nuge with Hyman. I think it was Derek Ryan with Yamamoto. And you saw those four primarily. And then it was CeCe with Keith and Russell mixed in there a few times, but mostly Darnell Nurse with Evan Bouchard. So PK did some good things. They did give up one, but they did go 4-for-5. Our boy Tommy Gazzola asked Dave Tippett today, how's the attention to detail coming along early on this season? Well, very early on this season.
There's mistakes being made. Like there's more chances for both teams than you'd probably like last night, but that's what you get from the first game of the year. You got fans back in the building. There's an energy, a nervous excitement about it that kind of lends itself to the way the game goes. In the first period, both teams had a lot of chances, and 2 months from now, you see teams buckle down and really solid in their structure and you probably see less of a frenetic game than the one last night.
One last one here, as Evan Bouchard was very good last night. He played 24 seconds on the power play, 6:01 shorthanded for an offensive guy, right? And 22:07 overall, third highest. He had one shot on goal, he had one block and one giveaway. No points on the night, but I thought he was solid. Good first game for Evan Bouchard this season. Here is the coach just on his young defenseman.
He was solid, really solid. I think he played 22 minutes last night, and we've talked to him about playing a lot of different situations, and he's a smart player. He understands the different roles in the game, and it's early, but he's getting himself up and going. The penalty killing's been pretty solid for him. He's really grabbed that. I think he's got a real thought process of he wants to jump in this, wants to be a good penalty killer, because it's something that people wouldn't, when you refer to Bush, it's all offensive talent. They wouldn't be consider him a good penalty killer, but smart guys with offensive talent can kill penalties. They just have to put their mind to it. So he's taken a real liking to that, and he's done a pretty good job so far.
That was the coach of the Edmonton Oilers, Dave Tippett, meeting with the media today. See tomorrow what the lines look like as they get ready for Calgary on Saturday. We'll see what Calgary brings along. Maybe I'll get a Calgary guest on tomorrow and see if we can track someone down to tee up the Calgary Flames for us. A little teaser ahead of Saturday's game. Let's get to some news from around the NHL. The Caps claim Dennis Shalosky, defenseman off waivers from the Kraken. Colorado Avalanche Gabriel Landeskog to have hearing for boarding Kirby Dock last night. Forsberg is going to start in net for the Senators versus the Leafs. Zach Bogosian's out 4 to 6 weeks for the Lightning with a lower body injury. And the big news of the day, Brady Tkachuk signs an extension with the Ottawa Senators. 7-year deal worth $57.5 million. So good on him. That's an AAV of 8.214. So Ottawa's best player will be in their lineup here shortly. Unfortunately, they couldn't get anything done before things went down. But seems it's always, this is what always happens here. It takes a little bit of time, but he's back. And far too talented of a player for Ottawa. For Ottawa to have him sit out that much longer. So a nice deal for both, I think. It's solid. And yeah, we'll see what the Ottawa Senators can do now that they have their best player. Obviously, he won't be in the lineup tonight. And speaking of tonight, the ton of games on tap in the NHL. We'll start with the Canadian teams. Montreal is in Buffalo to take on the Sabres. Ottawa hosts the Toronto Maple Leafs. Florida takes on the Pittsburgh Penguins. Dallas Stars are in New York to take on the Rangers, who are coming off a tough loss last night in Washington. Carolina's home to the Islanders. It's Coyotes and Blue Jackets from Columbus. Tampa Bay looks to bounce back after a disappointing opening game as they take on the Detroit Red Wings. The Kraken are back at it as they're in Nashville to take on the Preds. And the LA Kings are home to the Vegas Golden Knights. Remember, you can go to betonline.ag, get some bets in there. I hit two yesterday. I hit the under on the Caps Rangers, which came down to, it was pretty close. It was pretty close. And I picked Toronto to win. And I hit on those two, but I missed on I did a prop on Trevor Zegras points, and it was pretty good money too, but he wasn't able to pick up any, so that one kind of stung. So what do you got tonight? Honestly, I mean, Tampa Bay, can you see them losing to Detroit and losing two straight? I don't know, but there's no value in that. Ottawa, Toronto's fascinating. Buffalo's not very good, so the odds are not good there. I think the one game that does intrigue me just a tad is LA-Vegas. I'm kind of high on LA this year. It's their home opener. Vegas coming in, playing their second game. There's something special in the air tonight, maybe in Los Angeles. That's a game I might sprinkle some money on. Now, you do what you want, remember, but you can also hit me up with some advice as well. But I do like that game. It intrigues me. I might put sprinkle some moolah on the LA Kings. All right, guys, that was the Locked On Oilers podcast, breaking down the first game of the Edmonton Oilers, which was a 3-2 win.
Yeah! All right.
Yeah, it was a good one. It was a good one. Good to see the fans back and back at it on Saturday against the rival Calgary Flames here at Rogers Place. 8:00 puck drop. Should be a fun one. Of course, you can catch me on the TSN 1260 post-game show immediately following the game on Saturday. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. Keep the downloads coming. For my producer, Juanito, this has been the Locked On Oilers podcast. I am Hernan the Man talking Los Petroleros. Enjoy the rest of your Thursday. We'll chat tomorrow.